Yes, welcome back to My Car Guru, and we're here with the guru himself. He is live and in studio and looking good.
Sounding
good, and here he is.
Got my Gateway hat on. I'm advertising.
You do. You don't have the green-red Cincinnati Reds hat on today.
No, I wanted to make sure you knew who you were talking to today.
Yeah, I'm glad you do things like that.
Cause you feel better?
I'm getting to the point now I do forget sometimes, you know.
No, surely not.
No, not that, but some things I forget. Like you walk in a room, forget why you went in there. You ever do that?
Yes, many times.
I do that almost every day now, it seems.
But you know, it hasn't gotten any worse over the years. It's always been an issue.
Really?
Yeah, too many things going on up here in the brain.
So even when you were like 12 years old, you'd
walk into a room, and mom would say, "What do you need?" I don't remember.
I don't remember what I came in here for.
Probably had something to do with food, though.
Probably.
At that age.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of food, went to see my grandson this weekend up in Cincinnati. He's 12. His favorite place to eat is the Taste of Belgium.
Taste of Belgium?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in the Banks area downtown?
Yes,
there?
Down the Banks area. Yeah. Okay. They specialize in waffles.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cook waffles like Mama did. They're hard.
Really?
Yeah. They're kind of crusty hard. You know, I like them when you pour the syrup on them, they're supposed to just kind of soak up the syrup, but this, the syrup just kind of runs off of them and they stay hard.
I was trying to think of the name of those. There's cookies, kind of like cookies that the thin, like waffles. Have you ever had any of those?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like that.
There's a name for
crunchy.
Those, and I'm trying to remember.
But if you were to serve biscuits, and their biscuits are hard too, and cold. And I said, these biscuits are cold. So they're supposed to be cold. Really? Not in Tennessee, they're not.
Yeah, you melt butter on them.
I like them fluffy. I like to open them up, you know, put the gravy on them and stuff. Their gravy is just like white. There's no pepper in it, and there's no chunks
in it. At this restaurant, you mean?
Yeah.
So it's like
And it's a very popular restaurant.
Yeah. It's like Belgium would make things.
I reckon. But, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm watching my 12-year-old grandson eat, and I'm thinking, my gosh, he eats like a caveman.
Shovels it in, huh?
Oh, baby. I mean, two utensils, both of them, you know, are used for putting food in the mouth, even the knife. You know, I'm thinking, okay. So I remember some of the biggest battles we ever had at the dinner table were in my house was over my manners. You know, my dad would jump on me and he'd say, you know, use the right fork and
elbows on,
you know,
the
right hand, elbows off the table, chew with your mouth closed, you know, all this stuff. And at the time, you know, I kind of thought that was, well, that's silly. That's nonsense. You know, what's the objective here? Take the food off the plate, put it in the mouth. What happens, you know, in between is irrelevant, isn't it? Well, it's really not. Do you think, Tim, I think it's important. Do you think manners are still important?
It depends on the setting, I think, and how many people are around, perhaps. If it's just you and your wife or something like that.
Just hunker over and start shoveling.
Yeah,
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, manners can kind of go out.
Somebody could lose a finger that way, though.
Well, that's true.
If you're not careful.
I think about Andy Griffith's show when Ernest T. Bass was sitting at the table and he was throwing food.
Right.
You know? Andy said, pass me a potato. So he picked up the whole potato and threw it to him.
Yeah.
And then he said, no, you don't pass one, you pass the whole thing. So he lifted up like eight potatoes and passed them over.
But, you know, there are certain things in society that do matter, right? I mean, it's from a standpoint of manners and interaction with other human beings.
Etiquette, you know, does, I think.
And so, you know, one of the things that my mom used to do, she used to train Tennessee Eastman would hire her to come up, and she had a marketing business, and she trained on etiquette.
Okay.
And, you know, not frilly stuff. I'm just talking about the right way to eat. How do you shake hands with people?
Hmm.
You know, because a lot of these folks that were coming from other countries, they have different customs, and Eastman wanted to make sure that they not only understood the customs here in the United States, but could actually execute them in a professional way. You know, the way Japanese guy, for example, or businessman introduces himself is different than the way an American does. You know, we really just go after the hand, right?
They bow.
They actually bow and they hold their business card with both hands and extend their business card.
Really?
And, okay. Yeah, I mean, it is a different form of greeting.
Okay.
And so what they hired mom to do was to come in and sit around a classroom And she would set up a dinner table. Okay. And they would have a meal. And then she would start teaching them, mm-hmm. you know, how certain things happen.
Which fork to use and all that.
You know, I don't know. In a lot of people's lives, that is zero relevance. You know, eat beside somebody that knows the proper etiquette beside, or somebody that doesn't, you can watch the two and you'd say, okay, I'm probably going to pick that one because that one looks more civilized. And the reason I'm saying all this is, you know, we're seeing some really odd behaviors with people that are coming in applying for jobs right now. We are trying to hire employees mm-hmm. right now at Gateway. And, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of car dealers, a lot of businesses are trying to hire people. And people have been off the grid for so long, and I don't know whether they're developing bad habits or they had it, had them going into the to this debacle. But you know, so many of the people that we talk to are just, in my opinion, unhirable. I mean, they are just like they come in and they're like they're dressed going getting ready to go to a beach party, you know.
That's just hard to believe that they would.
I mean, you think, okay, so our standards have changed as far as tattoos. It had to, because everybody had them,
yeah.
you know, that we were talking to. Yeah. When it came, now, you know, when I was growing up, tattoos were what people who went to Vietnam did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they were awful tattoos, too, you know, for the most part. They were, you know, when you get older, your skin changes and the ink kind of mm-hmm. kind of spreads out. And what used to be a mermaid is now a green blob, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but times change, and now tattoo is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in Cincinnati, I think this coming weekend, there's a tattoo convention, okay, on this billboard. All over the billboards going up 71. We're going up to, I guess, the Kenwood area,
mm-hmm.
and there were just billboards everywhere about a tattoo convention.
Hmm.
So, you know, a lot of the people that are coming in have tattoos. Now, can you discriminate against somebody that has a tattoo of tears on their face, you know, if they come into work for you, or if they have, you know, these tattoos that come all the way up to the neck so that it can't be covered, or all the way down the arm, you know, the sleeve tattoos? And my answer to that question is yes, mm-hmm. you can, because if you have a clientele, for example, that say they're older and they just don't go for that kind of thing, or they could mm-hmm. think it would be offensive or whatever. Should they think it's offensive? No. I mean, I really don't. I think whatever somebody wants to do to their body is their business, right?
If they turn around, though, and want to say you discriminated against them because you didn't hire them because of that, they would have to prove that, I guess, in some way.
I don't think. What if they did prove it? Yeah, I discriminated against them because of that.
Yeah, but you
I mean, you can't discriminate based on race, sex, national origin.
Exactly, but tattoos, yeah.
Yeah, but you can discriminate because of the way somebody wears their hair.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to hire anybody that you don't want to hire in Tennessee. I mean, but you can't discriminate based on those five or six different things are that are protected by law.
Yeah.
But we've had to change. We've had to adapt. I mean, I'm a geezer. I get it. I admit it. I'm 64 years old. I have no tattoos.
What about things like piercings?
You know, I'm not a fan of it, but and we have made people take guys. I mean, girls, mm-hmm. you know, that's traditionally girls who have pierced ears.
Yeah, I'm talking
You know, if that. A guy has a big old plate in his ear the size of a, you know, a piece of Tupperware, then probably I'm not going to go for that.
Yes, gauges, they call
yeah.
them.
Yeah. And so... is that acceptable? You know, in this society, it almost seems like anything goes, and I just, I'm going to resist that until my last day, probably, because I don't think anything does go. I think there are limits to what is or should be acceptable, especially when it comes to behavior. You know, you can have a guy or a gal that's covered with tattoos, and that doesn't reflect anything on who they are as a person.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if they are a good person and if they are willing to execute our processes and a business plan, you know, I think a lot of people will overlook that, you know, and some most won't care, some will. But I think a person's personality and their attitude and their helpfulness and their politeness, you know, I will never give up on chivalry, ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, when a lady is with me and getting ready to walk through the door, I'm opening it.
Absolutely. You know? And they go first, you know.
Yes.
Yep.
And, you know, some people say, well, that's discrimination. You know.
Oh, it's man.
Don't you dare open that door for me, you know. Okay. Then I won't. But, you know, just certain things that are societal norms, let's call it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not willing to violate that. You know, I believe that when, you're sitting, like if I tell my salespeople, if a customer is sitting, then you can sit, but they sit first, you know, mm-hmm. don't stand over people, mm-hmm. you know, and talk to them, try to get on their level. Mm-hmm. You know, these are just human relation things. What I'm saying though, is that I'm seeing some appalling things, you know, when I'm trying to hire people. Like, okay, what would you like to accomplish? Where would you like to see yourself 5 years now? I don't know, you know, I've never thought about that. 5 years? You know? Boy, that's a long time. Well, it'll get here before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the questions that we ask are very revealing. We're going to go back to personality profile testing. Does that sound scary? Have you ever had one of those where they test the way you think and the way you process information, the way you... it's called what my mom used to do it and when she was in her training business was called just a personality profile.
Right.
And it was based on four basic things, DISC, and I don't remember what all those stand for.
Mm-hmm.
But it will indicate to you the type of personality a person has. And some people are just better servants than others. Some people are better leaders than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some people very strong-willed, others not. You know, they tend to kind of go with the flow. Mm-hmm. Some people are really good at paperwork, and that's all personality-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's some skill set involved. But anyway, those are some of the challenges we're facing along with many other businesses to find good employees out there and people that want to work. But, you know, somehow I think what it's going to take is going into schools and speaking. Teachers don't have time to teach that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They just don't. I mean, they're having a hard enough time with everything it is. Let's just, you know, take the pandemic out of it, just put people back in school and doing everything that they used to do. They didn't have time to teach manners. They don't have time to tell you
right. What
you have to do and how you need to present yourself to get a job.
Yeah.
Because they're too busy teaching, you know, so that these kids can advance with these tests, and those tests have nothing to do with social skills or socializing skills. Manners.
Which is a shame in a way, because...
imagine trying to teach chivalry in a class. You know, opening doors
nowadays,
for ladies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pulling out a chair for a lady. When a lady walks to a table, everybody mm-hmm. stands up until she sits down. I mean, mm-hmm. these are just things that I grew up with, and I'm grateful that I did. But, you know, do they matter? You know, do they still matter? That's the question that I think administrator people need to ask, because I think over time you get this erosion of values, and then when all of that passes away, what are you left with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it okay to have standards? And my answer to those questions are absolutely. Mm-hmm. Don't let them erode. Make sure that certain things stay in place, and you can't legislate that. You can't legislate which fork somebody uses. You can have manners police, you know.
I mean, there's some things that our grandparents were around when our grandparents were around that we should hang on to. That, you know.
Yeah, and that's a cultural family kind of a thing, right? I mean, mm-hmm. My dad was a stickler for manners, and so I have good manners
mm-hmm.
most of the time.
Yeah.
My wife was kicking my elbow off the table, though, when I was lecturing my grandson on which fork he was, you know, which hand he's supposed to use the fork with.
Yeah.
You know, she was saying, your elbow's on the table. I should have learned better.
See, but, to me, that one's, it's not like I'm a savage or anything, but that one's down on the
you
list
heathen.
For me. I never understood the elbows on the table thing very much.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, nowadays, kids have elbows on the table because they got a phone in their hands.
That's true.
And they got their elbows propping their hands up and their thumbs going texting.
That's
true.
You know, you go out to eat with a group of people. Should anybody take their phones in with them? The answer to that question is no, unless you're waiting on the hospital to call or the babysitter, mm-hmm. you know. It's just so rude. I mean, people, you're sitting there talking to somebody, and you're having a conversation. All of a sudden, obviously, their phone buzzes. They're reaching for it. They're looking at it, and they're still looking at you. So all of a sudden, you aren't important anymore, right?
Yeah.
That phone is more important than you, like it was some kind of an emergency. I liked it better when we didn't have cell phones. And, you know, when somebody wanted to trace me down, they just had to be patient.
Yeah.
You know?
I think in certain situations, it's okay to for adults to have phones. And I take mine in, but I usually put it on silent just because my mother is in a situation where, you know, she's elderly, very elderly. And it's a situation where I might get a call about something. So that's why I usually take mine in. It used to be the kids, you know, when they were younger. Things like that. Of course, back then we had those phones where you bought minutes for the little flip phones and those kinds of things.
But, you know, you come in to buy a car, you want your salesperson to know what they're talking about, right? And if they're intelligent, they're, you know, I mean, how they're dressed it is important. I think it creates an image in their mind going in, right? I mean, if somebody's real slouchy, their clothes are all wrinkled, their shirt's untucked, you know, you're judging them. Whether we should or not, you know, they're being evaluated.
Yeah.
Now, if they come out and they sound extremely intelligent and they know their stuff and they're wonderfully friendly and make you feel comfortable, then all of, you know, how they're dressed kind of fades into the background, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you won't even get that chance. So we work really hard to make sure that the people that we hire are going to be presentable. So that they don't start off on the wrong foot. And I personally don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, we better take a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and do a few more minutes. My Car Guru. All right, we're back here, My Car Guru, for this Tuesday morning. And Lenny is here in studio with us.
I was reading about a Kia dealership that apparently has such a high demand for the Kia Telluride, which is a, imagine a Ford Explorer. That's kind of what it looks like if you don't know what a Kia Telluride. It's a, it's a maybe a 7 or 8 passenger SUV, and it sells like hotcakes. The dealer has written a note on the window of every Kia Telluride. It says, "Congratulations, you have located the most sought after vehicle in the world." Now this I'm showing Tim. It's a picture, a snapshot of a note. Typewritten note that's in the window of every Kia Telluride that's on the lot. You have located the most sought-after vehicle in the world. The 2021 Kia Telluride is the highest-rated mid-SUV on the market, but you already know that. That's why you're here today. Due to the extremely limited availability and popularity, the Telluride sells for a market-adjusted price of between $15,000 and $18,000 over MSRP. It continues to say, "We cannot order you one, nor can we dealer trade for one. The colors and options that we currently have in stock are what is available for you to purchase today. If what we have in stock is something that you can see yourself owning at our adjusted market price, then we would be happy to take you on a test drive." I guess the insinuation there is, and if not, don't bother us. It continues, "If the forecasted conditions are not agreeable, then we appreciate you stopping by. However, we are not going to be offering a test drive at this time. We encourage you to keep an eye on updated inventory." So this is, you know, the Kia Telluride. The SX model, I guess is their base model, starts at $44,390 with all-wheel drive. If you add every single option that you can get, the price just goes as to $52,980. At that point, a dealer markup of $18,000, $20,000 brings the Telluride up to the luxury SUV models. I mean, you could get a Mercedes-Benz GLE, an Audi Q7. There's a lot of different vehicles you could get for that price range, but you know, occasionally you have a company that hits the nail on the head, okay? I mean, just precisely exactly what the market has wanted. I remember the Honda Accord when it came out. I think it was 1977, might have been 78 when that car came out. It was exactly what people were looking for. I remember when, believe it or not, when the Ford Taurus came out. It's the first Ford Taurus was a home run for the Ford Motor Company. I was a Chevy dealer selling celebrities, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that is the ugliest thing. No way anybody's going to buy that. Wrong. Sold like hotcakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about when the Ram came out, I can't remember the year when they got away from Dodge name and went to Ram, or they maybe still had a Dodge Ram, but it was the first year where they had the tractor trailer like fenders that they have right now, mm-hmm. you know, that still carries on. You know, I said, well, nobody's going to want that. Wrong. You know, it was extremely popular. So there's, you never know what's going to touch the market like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Telluride has. And so, you know, there are a lot of vehicles right now that are transacting over MSRP. I mentioned yesterday I was checking dealer inventories, and they are so low right now that, you know, on certain vehicle lines, just about any dealership that you go to, there's going to be certain vehicles. Basically, the only discount you're able to get off of MSRP is whatever the factory offers, you know, as far as rebate.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably understand that. Imagine if you own a clothing store. And you've got one shirt left on the rack, and it's $50. And the customer says, aren't you going to discount that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that when you sell that last shirt, you have no more shirts coming in because the manufacturer's shut down and they're not going to print do anymore. Said, mm-hmm. no, we're just pretty much going to hold out for our $50 on that T-shirt because it's the last one. When we sell it, we might as well go, you know,
mm-hmm.
to the campground. Go fishing,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's kind of where the market is right now, Tim. It's kind of interesting. So
mm-hmm.
Unless you want to pay way over MSRP for a Telluride, then, you know, don't buy one.
Don't bother the way they're saying.
Don't bother. Yeah. That's right.
All right. We'll take our last break. We'll be right back.
All right. Back here to wrap up My Car Guru this Tuesday morning. It's amazing what building a Nissan showroom can do for your Nissan business.
That makes sense.
People actually know that we are a Nissan dealer now. You know, we had it for like 18 months before we even broke ground.
Mm-hmm.
And folks would come in and say, when are you going to be able to start selling Nissans? You know, when we broke ground on the dealership. So that's kind of frustrating. But you know, what has been really refreshing has been the amount of service business that we're getting now. Because a lot of people, you know, I guess they didn't know we were there. They don't watch TV, you know. They don't listen to the radio. They aren't avid listeners of My Car Guru. So
well, they must not go by there because it's plainly evident when you go by there.
There's a big sign there.
Yeah,
but you know, so but our service business has more than doubled just in the last two. Now I hope that continues, and whether it does or not is going to depend totally on us, right? Whether we provide mm-hmm. a very high level of service at an affordable price. The car dealers can't charge too much more than what the aftermarket places do, you know, like Jiffy Lubes and stuff, and typically they don't.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when you need complicated repairs on a vehicle that only the dealer can do, yeah, that's going to be more expensive. But we think it's worth it, and so will most other car dealers that provide those services. But, you know, there's a lot of independent shops that were created because car dealers either dropped the ball, didn't stick with their customers, or they charge too much. So, but anyway, we're glad to be here. You're welcome to come see us. My cell phone is 552-2020 if you need anything. Give me a call.
552-2020. All right. That's the Car Guru, Lenny Lawson. We'll talk to you tomorrow.